And we're back. Oh, was that y'all I was hearing singing that wonderful rendition of Happy Duck in the River? It was? Well, wonderfully done. Wonderfully done indeed, my friends. Oh. Maybe we should sing a few more songs after. Whoa. But first, sit yourselves down. Get cozy. And let's hear Freddy finish his story, shall we? Mr. Hawthorne, the firelight is yours.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Coriander. Well, where was I? Oh, yes. Winter Steel Bridge stretched out in front of me as long as a lifetime. Now that I was alone, I wasn't so sure about going forward. The bridge, well, it looked sturdy enough, and it was as wide as two wagons, didn't feel safe. Something eerie swam in that velvety mist, and I wavered. But I knew there were people beyond this place, beyond this bridge, beyond this mist, that needed the mail. So I took a deep breath, and I started walking. I walked for hours in that cold gray mist, the freezing steel beneath my feet, my breath hanging in plumes around my head. I saw strange things as I walked through that mist. Big things. So big, they moved the mist and made the bridge shudder as they passed under them. I saw people on the bridge, too, dressed in rags with haggard looks in their faraway eyes. I naturally called out to them, tried to speak to them, get a response, but most only stood there, looking into the mist or sitting on the ground. Their eyes would move to me, but it was as if they were a house with a light on, but no one was home. At one point, I saw a woman walking out of the mist towards me, coming in the opposite direction. I asked her what the journey was like, where she'd come from, but she just muttered to herself and kept walking. And so did I. Not the muttering part, the walking. Step after step, and until finally I came to a statue. And beyond the statue, just feet beyond it, mind you, there was nothing. The bridge just ended. For a moment, I didn't know what to do. The bridge stopped and literally dropped off into the mist and nothingness. But I knew I couldn't go back. Not yet. So I looked around. The statue, well, it wasn't a statue of really anything. At least, not anymore. It was so old and weathered that the features on it had worn away. There were hints of a face and maybe wings, or was it eyes? I don't know. It was a figure of some kind, and it had a feet, a base, hooves, something. But there, just below that, there was a bowl, a good, sturdy stone bowl. Now, I'd been a master all-courier a long time at this point, and I'd been one long enough to know this. This was an offering bowl, and when you see an offering bowl, you give an offering. So put my last pair of wool socks into it. I looked up, and the bridge continued. Whole and complete, stretching out there. A second ago, it was nothing, and now it was a bridge. And I didn't give it a second thought. I picked myself up and continued on my journey. After only about 10 minutes of walking from that statue, the mist began to clear, and before I knew it, I was blinking in sunlight as I looked up at a small village made of hewn stone and tiled roofs, built into the side of a mountain, the jagged, broken spear peak rising over all of it. And there, at the center of the village, there was a tree, its body almost black, with leaves the most perfect shade of delicate pink I'd ever seen. I had made it. And there were people, happy, cheerful people, who called out to me when they saw me. A young woman came up to me and asked me who I was, and I told her I was a Swiftwell courier and that I had mail. and she excitedly took me up to the tree, calling everyone she could as we went to bring everybody. By the time I had reached the shade of the tree, oh, there must have been 100 or more people. And at first I was worried, because I knew there was only about a dozen or so deliveries to be made. But as I read out the names and handed out letters and parcels and packages, I always found there was something else in my bag. I felt like I called out names and passed out mail for hours sitting there. Until finally, the last letter was given out. And the people, they thanked me profusely and offered me a meal and a place to sleep and even a party to celebrate my arrival. And I was sorely tempted to take them up on their offer. It had been a long day walking. And usually I would be fine with something like that. But something told me deep down inside, that if I accepted their hospitality, I'd never leave this place. Now, I can see the look on your faces. I feel like I need to explain this. I never felt like I was in any danger. I'd been to towns where they treated you kindly at first and then tried to rob you blind or worse while you slept off the generous and drugged feast they gave you. But this didn't feel like that. This felt different. This felt welcoming. Like I was home. You see, I didn't want to leave. And I knew that if I spent any more time here, I never would. So, using all of my grit and determination, I decided to leave. And I refused politely and gifted away all the rest of my mittens and hats and scarves. And I left. And you know, the whole town, well, what I assumed was the whole town, followed me out, expressing their sadness that I couldn't stay. And as I was about to go, some of them came up, and they hugged me and thanked me for the mercy I'd performed for them. You know, I don't think I'll ever forget that feeling. How loved I felt. And I wavered for just a moment, thinking I could say something, that maybe I could stay. But I stepped out onto the bridge, and I turned my back and kept going, letting the mist envelop me. I'll tell you, I cried a little as the village disappeared from sight. But I kept going until finally, out of the mist, I saw the statue. And there, sitting by the statue, there was someone at the base. His back was turned to me, and I knew that coat, and that hat, and the satchel. It was me. No lie to the lumen, it was me, sitting there at the base of that statue, slumped against it as if I was asleep. I felt my mind recoil at the thought and get confused. How could I be here and there at the same time? So, I crept up to it, me, whatever, and I reached my hand out to touch the shoulder, to look into my face, to make sure when... No sooner had I touched my own shoulder, I awoke with a start, sitting at the base of the statue, gasping in so much cold air it made my lungs hurt. I scrambled to my feet and looked out beyond the statue at the bridge, but there wasn't anything there. It was as it was before, a sudden drop off into nothing. The path to the village completely gone. And what was more, all the rest of my wool goods were gone. And the satchel that Fathina had given me, with all that mail, was empty. There comes a time, my young friends, after every adventure or strange happening in this world, that you just accept it. Sure, you'll think about it later, dissect it over and over and over again, and tell your friends, and talk about it. But for the moment, you accept it. You accept that something extraordinary happened to you, and you move on. I had hours of walking on a freezing bridge ahead of me, and I had no time to consider the ramifications of what I had just experienced. So I walked back, right back to the barn, to find obstinacy waiting there for me, patient. And there was the old man as well. He told me he was surprised to see my face, and I told him I was also surprised to see him. He smiled at me and offered me that extra pair of socks I'd given him. I said he could keep them, and he said that he'd held them for the last 5 days, so the least he could do was give them back to me now. So I took them, and I wear them every 5th day to this day. You know, I'm not sure why. Just felt like the right thing to do. And that, as they say, is that. That's the end.
Why, thank you, Freddy. That was a mighty wonderful story. And I'm sure we all will be thinking about it for quite some time as we ponder the meaning of this story for us. But, in the meantime, let's have another tale, shall we? Who'd like to go next?